It's good to gather in this new year, in the new semester. It's a time of gathering. Today is also a day of sending. As we open this semester, we also launch a chapel series that will take place in the first half of the semester through Spiritual Life Week. And the title of the series is Faith and Doubt, Finding Our Way. I want to emphasize finding our way, because we come as we are, who we are, with whatever current, wherever we are on the currently on the spiritual journey, and we bring that fully to our campus community, embodied in us, but engage it fully with one another as well, as we seek to find our way. As we gather this morning in celebration of the campus community reuniting, we also are aware of the tragedy in Haiti, an earthquake that hit the capital city, Port-au-Prince, and probably much broader area, but that's what's in the news. And I invite us to focus our prayerful attention to this situation as I light the Christ candle. Situations such as this raise so many questions for us. And President Lawrence Wardsendruber, in a little bit, will be bringing a convocation address entitled, Don't Stop Asking Questions. There's integrity in the questions. I'd like to open with prayer found in the Sing the Story book, if you'll join me, in the back 150. It's a simple prayer that draws us into the theme. In some ways, it is a prayer of invocation, as in that we're addressing Jesus. So God be with us in this space. Join me with the people part. Jesus, you are the great questioner. Keep our questions alive. Guard us well from the sin of settling in with our answers hugged to our breasts.
Making ourselves wondering, far-sighted, questioning, restless people.
Give us the feet of pilgrims on this journey unfinished.
Amen. Good morning. My name is Michael Spori, and I am pleased to serve as SGA president this coming spring. This morning's scripture verse comes from Luke 20, verses 1 through 8. One day, as he was teaching the people in the temple and telling the good news, the chief priests and the scribes came with the elders and said to him, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Who is it who gave you this authority?" He answered them, "I will also ask you a question, and you tell me. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" They discussed it with one another, saying, "If we say, 'From heaven,' he will say, 'Why did you not believe him?' But if we say, 'Of human origin,' all the people will stone us, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it came from. Then Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." And now it is my pleasure to introduce Dr. Lauren E. Schwarzentruber. Dr. Schwarzentruber came to EMU from Heston College in Kansas, where he had served as president since 1994. Before that, he was an associate executive secretary of the former Mennonite Board of Education in Elkhart, Indiana for 10 years. A native of Kelowna, Iowa, Lauren graduated from EMU in 1976 with a Bachelor of Arts degree in Liberal Arts and earned a Master of Divinity degree from Eastern Mennonite Seminary 3 years later. He completed a Doctor of Ministry degree at Northern Baptist Theological Seminary in 2000. After graduating from EMU, Lauren was an associate director of admissions and part-time associate campus pastor at his alma mater. He was ordained in 1975 at Lower Deer Creek Mennonite Church near Kelowna, Iowa, and was pastor at Salford Mennonite Church in Harleysville, Pennsylvania for 5 years. He then became the 8th president of Eastern Mennonite University on January 1st, 2004. Currently, Dr. Schwarzentruber is a member of Parkview Mennonite Church and serves on the advisory board of Harrisonburg Downtown Renaissance, a local community organization that works for the restoration and preservation of the downtown area. Lauren is married to Pat Schwarzentruber, a native of Wellman, Iowa, who works full-time as a volunteer for EMU and serves on several church-wide boards. The couple has 4 adult children, 3 of whom are EMU alumni. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Lauren E. Schwarzentruber.
Thank you. And I might add that Pat and I have been married 40 years on Christmas Eve. We had a wonderful celebration with our family. Little children are full of questions that are frequently difficult for their parents or teachers to answer. How are rainbows made? Where do babies come from? Why is the sky blue? A recent survey in Britain confirmed that many parents have interesting ways of responding, usually not very directly. 30% of parents tell their children to ask the other parent. 20% of parents tell their child that they'll answer later. And this is an indictment of many males. 9% of fathers would rather invent the answer to a question than to admit that they don't know what it's all about. And mothers don't do much better. 14% say they will respond later, hoping that the child will forget about it. There are other interesting questions, even if not so profound. Why did the earliest moonwalkers find it necessary to take a small car with them? Jerry Seinfeld's answer may not be accurate, but he says that the first moon mission was planned and executed by men primarily, and men always want to have a car just in case they decide to do some cruising. If we pay attention to the world around us, we will be faced daily with questions which are disconcerting and painful. And as one of our staff members put it in an email this morning, why does a devastating earthquake hit a country like Haiti, already among the poorest of the world? And Brian already mentioned that tragedy, and let me just add my encouragement to us to pray during these next number of days. Blue Ridge Community College, a neighboring institution, has students there, and as of earlier this morning, they hadn't heard from them, and it may simply be a communication problem, but nevertheless, they are concerned, and Mennonite Central Committee, many other relief and service agencies have people there, and it is incumbent upon each of us to pray for all of them. The sad reality is that far too often, somewhere along the educational path, we have a tendency to lose our sense of curiosity about the world around us. Education becomes a process of regurgitation of facts and figures, recalling material for a quiz or a test rather than an opportunity to continue asking questions. And I suspect, if we really think about it, that we all have a variety of reasons why we hesitate to ask questions. Perhaps we think we should know the answer and we're afraid to expose our ignorance. Some of our questions may sound less erudite from another person's perspective. Of course, we've all heard a classmate or a peer ask a question in such a manner as to make it clear that he or she was actually attempting to convey their incomparable knowledge. And it can be a little intimidating to hear a question that I can't even understand, much less the answer. All of us recall, usually in vivid detail, a question we asked that resulted in deep embarrassment. For me, it's more often that I'm embarrassed by the question that I failed to ask. As a pastor, I frequently visited parishioners who were terminally ill, and one member of our congregation had been fighting cancer for several months. Her daughter's family was providing a place to live so they could care for her. They put a hospital bed in their living room, and twice a week for several months, I stopped by to visit and pray with her. And I was in a breakfast meeting one morning at a restaurant when Pat reached me with the message that the member was dying and that I should get over to the house as soon as possible. So I drove several miles, walked into the house as I normally did, almost as a member of the family. I walked in, I knelt beside her bed, I took her hand, and I prayed for her. And as I stood up, her daughter was at the foot of the bed with a slight grin on her face. And her words were something like, "Thanks for the prayer, but she's already dead." Sometime in the short minutes between the phone call and my arrival, she had passed away. But a very simple question from me to the daughter when I arrived, something like, "How is she doing?" would have been appropriate in the context. And I would have saved myself a moment of awkwardness. Of course, I'd have one less story to tell. Ironically, the daughter and her husband later became pastors, and we've since laughed together about that incident. And I suppose it's even possible that she decided at that point that if I can be a pastor, if he can be a pastor and live through such embarrassment, perhaps she could survive in the profession too. I've also learned from personal experience that not listening carefully to a question can create a confusing situation. I went one time to my family doctor for a full physical exam, and we decided to do a rather extensive cardiac workup. And as the family doc was going over the results, which were generally positive, he asked me, "How many glasses of wine are you drinking every day?" But I thought he asked, "How many glasses of water are you drinking?" At the time, I was a regular jogger, and I said, "Well, I know the standard recommendation is around 8 glasses a day. And since I'm running rather regularly, I should probably be drinking a few more. But I think I'm averaging about 6 or 7. And the look on his face was priceless. To be sure, there are reasons ad infinitum for not asking questions. May I suggest that the mark of a wise and educated person is the capacity to never stop asking questions. In this text from Luke 20 that was read for us a couple of minutes ago, the chief priests and teachers of the law approach Jesus, and they confront him with a statement followed by a question. "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things. Who gave you this authority?" And they were referring, if you read the text prior in chapter 19, they were referring to Jesus having just driven merchants out of the temple. And I think if we could hear a video clip or audio clip of that exchange, the tone would surely be accusatory. "Who do you think you are?" And in typical Jesus fashion, he chooses not to give a direct answer. Now, keep that in mind when faculty members respond to a question with another question. They're just taking their cues from the master teacher. I'll also ask you a question. Tell me, John's baptism, was it from heaven or from humankind? And so they gather into a huddle as disciples and soon realize that no matter how they answered, they were in trouble. It's a little like answering the question, "Have you stopped beating your spouse?" A simple yes or no answer simply doesn't work. Jesus had this nasty habit of asking a lot of questions, and in this particular interaction, he not only responded to a question with a question, but when they were stumped, he had the audacity to leave them hanging. "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things," perhaps a pedagogical technique that served him well in teaching the disciples. Last week, Pat and I heard a lecture from Dr. Shirley Tilghman, president of Princeton University, who's a molecular biologist by academic discipline, and her topic was the future of science education in the liberal arts college. And she began by suggesting that the best way to get students interested in a particular academic discipline is to formulate a big question that is of interest to them, and then set them on the path to researching the answers to that question. And she went on to make the case that small liberal arts colleges like EMU produce a disproportionate percentage of high-achieving scientists, and she gave three reasons for why that's the case: preponderance of small class sizes, highly motivated faculty members, and cross-training in the humanities. And with respect to that notion of cross-training, she noted that at Princeton they now have a laptop orchestra, which is a creation of computer science and music students working together. Now, she acknowledged that she didn't particularly like the quality of the music that they were producing. But nevertheless, it was an effective learning experience for students to work together on a creative project, students from disciplines that would normally not connect. And then she went on to highlight the fact that American students are generally falling behind students from many parts of the world in knowledge of science and math. And frankly, as I heard her speak, I'm not so concerned specifically that Americans are not as competitive as we might be, as though we think that Americans should be embarrassed that students from other countries are outperforming us. But I'd rather that we who are American be willing to learn from those of you who represent other countries and cultures, and that together we would achieve in science and math and all the other disciplines as a path to greater quality of life for all of God's people. Because the questions of life, the big, tough questions of life, are larger than any one nation can hope to answer in isolation from the global community. And our vision at EMU is to prepare graduates to serve and lead in a global context. That vision takes root in a variety of ways, most obviously by the requirement to experience a culture other than one's own. Nearly 3 years ago, Bill Gates was the commencement speaker at Harvard University. And that's an interesting kind of experience, because Bill Gates is a college dropout. He went to Harvard, but he dropped out. Now, I think most people would say that he's been relatively successful, at least in a financial way. Perhaps one of the most successful college dropouts ever. He told the Harvard graduates of 2007 that his experience at Harvard had largely been a positive one, but he did have one critique that is particularly disturbing. I left Harvard with no real understanding of the appalling disparities of health and wealth and opportunity that condemn millions of lives, or people, to lives of despair. And then he went on to say in that address to the graduates, "I learned here at Harvard a lot of things about new ideas in economics and politics. I got great exposure to the advances being made in the sciences, but humanity's greatest advances are not in its discoveries, but in how those discoveries are applied to reduce inequality and inequity. Whether through democracy, strong public education, quality health care, or broad economic opportunity, reducing inequity is the highest human achievement. I left campus knowing little about the millions of young people cheated out of educational opportunities here in this country, and I knew nothing about the people, the millions of people living in unspeakable poverty and disease in developing countries. It took me decades to find out." There are questions, big questions, that simply were not on the minds of Bill Gates and his fellow students as undergraduates at Harvard University, albeit that was several decades ago. I hope and pray that no graduate of EMU will ever be able to say that they were not confronted by complex questions of life. And I do realize all too keenly that encouraging all of us to never stop asking questions is rather risky. It makes a lot of folks uncomfortable, particularly in the context of a faith-based university, we ask questions because it is a most human activity and because we seek to discover truth. It's our desire to better understand our world and our Creator. Albert Einstein, a relatively, pun intended, intelligent person, put it this way: the important thing is not to stop questioning. Curiosity has its own reason for existing. One cannot help but be in awe when one contemplates the mysteries of eternity, of life, of the marvelous structure of reality. It is enough if one tries merely to comprehend a little of this mystery every day. Never lose a holy curiosity. So I close with a question, one that is hardly the most important one we should be asking today, but perhaps one that we collectively share. Who will we cheer for tonight? Go Royals!
Well, even as we ask questions, and we will, we also lay some claims. You'll find the university hymn in the back pocket of Hymnal Worship Book. We lay some claims. Christ of the mountain, be our word. Your teachings are our rock. And we make some requests. Christ of the desert, be our strength. Our world so full is bare without your presence. Christ of the mountain, be our word. Your teachings are our rock. We hear your voice call out our names to live in patterns you have shaped. Reversing powers, making peace by giving of ourselves our needs. Jesus, our teacher, Christ of the desert, be our strength. Our world so full is bare without your presence, and we choose to fill our days with empty views. When tempters lure us, show the way you walk, rejecting Christ of the grapevine, be our feast. Our hungers seek your food. You call us to abide in you, to let your breath and pulse flow through, to live in unity, to taste the taste of
blessing. We bless you, O God, Master of the universe, you who have provided us with life, with this beautiful space to come together, to worship, and to own our questions. We thank you, God, that as your people, we can be real with you, honest with who we are and all that stirs in our spirits. Bless us when the questions that come to the surface are those that confuse, that evoke fear, that make us wonder why horrible things happen in the way they do. May we know your blessing in those times when we question ourselves, our faith, our future. It is within those questions especially that we need your loving, enlightening presence. And may you also bless us with questions that come out of our curiosity, our desire to know, our spirit of exploration, our intrigue with this magnificent world we live in. Bless us with questions that take us deeply into the arts, into the sciences, into the practices of our professions. And may you also bless us with questions that take us out onto the street corners, into the public spaces where we ask of the civil authorities, of our government, why are you doing this? Questions of justice, of fairness, questions that take us into places of conflict. Ask, how can there be a better way? How can we live together with more integrity and mutual appreciation and respect? Oh God, in this new semester, we pray that we will ask questions with integrity that take us into the heart of your truth, beneath the surface of things, to see where you are at work in our world and in our own lives. Bless us with the joy of seeking your truth. We pray in the name of Jesus, who seemed so delighted with questions. Who is my neighbor? How shall I be saved? And so many more. In the name of Jesus, who holds together the questions with the answers, we pray and ask for your blessing, O magnificent God. Amen.
I'm Beth Aracena, and it is my pleasure to invite the students and leaders of the Guatemala-Mexico Cross-Cultural to come forward and sit on the steps to receive our prayers. The cross-cultural commissioning and laying of hands is a tradition at EMU, and we ask that friends and family come forward also to lay hands on our group members. This morning, we commission 18 students and our faculty leaders, Don and Esther Clymer. Don is assistant professor of Spanish in our language and literature department. Among many roles and gifts that our leaders share with students, Don served as director of cross-cultural programs here at EMU for 5 years. He was my predecessor. Don and Esther led a semester-long cross-cultural to Guatemala in spring 2007. They bring wisdom, compassion, Christ-centered inquiry, an openness to adventure, and a wealth of experience in Latin America and elsewhere in the world. For all of you night owls, don't forget that the group leaves early Thursday at 2 a.m. from Lehman Circle. That's also become a tradition here at EMU.
Which part? 2 a.m. or the Lehman Circle?
Both. Associate Campus Pastor Julie Haushalter will lead us in prayer.
So it's an exciting time for all of us in our community. Let us pray. God of love, grace, and mercy, we bring before you all of these students and leaders who we know and love. We pray that on their journey, your spirit be with them every step of the way. We ask that you open their eyes to the extraordinary world that you have created, that they would have the hearts and minds of curiosity, openness to seeing you in unlikely places, and that they would care for one another along the way. We ask you to be with them in moments of loneliness, in moments of fear or anxiety, and also in times of joy and discovery about others and about themselves. We pray that you keep them safe and out of harm's way. Thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have as travelers, as learners, and as people able to risk stepping out of what is often a comfortable world here at EMU into a world where we become more vulnerable and dependent on your love and protection and dependent on the community which we have with each other. Lord, may this be a time of growth in Christian faith. And we pray for Don and Esther. Give them wisdom for the journey and a sense of humor for what comes their way. And we who remain here, parents, family, our EMU community, we commit to holding all of you in prayer these next 3.5 months. In God's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can go in peace.